our last lesson on the study of the Kings, and I didn't get to one thing I wanted to last week, so we're going to cover that, and then I'm going to do a whole lot of scripture reading. And if you don't or can't somehow or another turn to the scriptures, write them down and look them up later. This is important stuff, and especially talking about the last king. Anyway, we are, remember last week, or not last week, week before last, because I was out again last week, Cyrus, the king of Persia, was in charge now. The king of Babylon and Empire of Babylon was gone, basically. And to find out how this all came about, turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. Also, anybody that would like to, our pastor recently, a few months ago, did a study of Jeremiah, and it's on YouTube, and Sermon Audio, yeah, that's one I can't ever remember, but anyway, it's a good study, and a lot of things in it. Anyway, Jeremiah 25, and verses 8 through 11, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, you didn't pay attention, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing perpetual desolations." So, we're going to spend just a little bit of time here. So you didn't pay attention. Because you didn't pay attention, you didn't listen to my priests, my prophets, those that I sent to warn you. You didn't pay attention. Verse 9 says, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord." Now this isn't talking about he's going to come and get the families. This is talking about the other nations, those up around Babylon. This isn't talking about the northern kingdom, Israel. There are some that think that's what it means, and I have to dispute with them, because that's not the way I understand it, because he's going to take them and bring them with the king of Babylon to do battle with Israel and the nations, not Israel, Judah, and the nations round about. And it says, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant." Now, you would not consider Nebuchadnezzar a servant of the Lord, would you? He is doing the fighting against God's chosen people. "And to bring them against this land." He's going to bring them all down. All the northern nations and countries up there, Babylon, they were going to come down and they were going to do war against God's people and all their allies, those that would have helped them maybe, and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. Nobody's going to get out of it. "And will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment." Remember how strong Israel used to be? "And hissing and perpetual desolation." Gonna make a mess of them. Verse 10, "Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candles." You're going to take everything away. no joy, no happiness at all. Voice of the bridegroom, there's not going to be any rejoicing in that either. The voice of the bride, gone. The sound of the millstones, even the small things. The millstones grinding flour, and not even any light with a candle. Don't take it all away from them. They were going to be in darkness, in misery and darkness. In verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and the nation shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now we talked about, Brother McCool talked about this in his study in Jeremiah, about the 70 years that they were going to be in servitude to Babylon. And so they're going to be there 70 years. But after that, verse 12, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon. Now, over here, it says he calls the king of Babylon his servant. In verse 9, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Over here, he says, I will punish the king of Babylon. It was according to God's purpose that Nebuchadnezzar came down and attacked Judah in Jerusalem. But they were still fighting against God's people. You don't get away with that. I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. They're going to be gone too. And this is where Persia comes in, the Persian Empire, and Cyrus, the king of Persia. So we finally figured out how we got there, when we studied it last week. Not last week, but week before last. And that pretty much ends the kings, right? There's no more kings after that in Israel. But there's one king left. And that's the king we're going to study about today. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Verses 26 through 33. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Jesus is the final king. And he is going to have the throne of David, and there is not going to be an end to his kingdom. And we're going to read, I would say a few, but we're going to read quite a few more verses here. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, verses 34 and 35. Too many pictures in my Bible. Okay. Now, you might think, well, this has nothing to do with kinship. This is talking about swearing. You know, how are we to swear? Now, I'm not talking about cussing or anything like that. I'm talking about, you know, swearing an oath. Something like that. But verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Now, who is the great king? Lord Jesus. And I want you to remember this. When we get to the end of our study today, not to swear by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And we'll try to remind you of that later. Anyway, turn to Psalm 48. I wasn't going to put this one in, because you have to turn backwards to get to it, but we're going to do it anyway. Psalms 48, verses 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So even in the Old Testament, and we could have turned to other verses, this is the only one in the Old Testament we're going to turn to. The great king, is talked about throughout the Bible. And it's talking about Jesus. So, turn back now in the New Testament to Matthew 19, and I got a few of these out of order, so Matthew 19 and verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus has a throne. If you remember, in Luke, it's talking about the Lord was going to give him the throne of David. Now, Christ is not sitting on his throne now. He is seated at the right hand of God. But there's coming a time when he's going to sit on his throne. And we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that throughout this lesson this morning. Anyway, go back to Matthew chapter 2. Many times people were mocking the Lord through the New Testament here. It's talking about him anyway. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem, the city of David, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? These were really wise men, weren't they? They didn't have to be told by anybody. The angels told them, but it says he is born King of the Jews, for we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Again, Christ is King. Matthew 21. In verse 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Now this is when Jesus was coming back, riding on the road. You remember how he came, and they put palm trees down, palm leaves down, for him to ride on. He's king. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee. He's coming. You know what? He's still coming. He's going to come for us. He's going to come take us home. Matthew 27. And verse 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. People still say things like this mockingly. But that don't make it untrue. Yeah. He's the king of the Jews. He's king of everything, really. But they did it mockingly. And little did they know how right they were. And you think of the things that Christ did for us. First of all, he left heaven, where he and his Father had had perfect fellowship from eternity past. He took on the form of a man and lived a perfect life, even though he was tempted in every respect, just like we are. He gave his life on the cross willingly. People say all sorts of things about who killed Christ and stuff like that. He gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. Why? He did it for me. I saw somebody else thinking that was them, but no, it was me. He gave up his life on the cross for me. All the things he gave up for me. And just one of them was the crown of thorns. Alright, now, same chapter, Matthew 27. And verse 37. And set up over his head his accusation written. He's going to say, well, this is why they're crucifying him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Again, mocking. But again, still true. Still true. You have a lot of people nowadays that they'll say things just to flap their lips and stuff like that. And that's basically what these people were doing here, you know. And, oh yeah, he says he's King of the Jews, and that's not what he said. When he was asked, are you the King of the Jews? He said, thou sayest it. You say I am. Anyway, they said it and put a sign up over him as he was being crucified. Yeah, he's the king, all right. Okay, John chapter 1. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now this was not mocking here. And Samuel answered him, he answered the Lord, and he said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. How did he come up with this? It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. How do we come up with it? Because we are super intelligent, or we're better than anybody else? No, because it pleased God to tell us, and His Holy Spirit came to us and enabled us to believe. We don't even have the ability to believe on our own. We're rotten just like everybody else. But we are God's chosen people. So, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 15 through 17. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Because Jesus is not only King, Jesus is God. People don't understand the greatness of Christ. Somehow they got, Connie and I watched an episode of Death Valley Days the other day. And it was about Big Charlie and Little Charlie. About two different people. One, Big Charlie was a Big Charlie, and Little Charlie was a Little Charlie. And they think that God the Father is Big God, and Jesus is the Little God. No, God the Father is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. There is no big little God. And unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. First Timothy chapter 6. Verses 13 through 15. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, we start to get a picture of just who Jesus is. King of kings, Lord of lords, the only potentate. All the others are fakes, wannabes. Christ is the one. Revelation 15, we're still studying in Revelation. That's another good study you can listen to on Sunday evening, again taught by Brother McCool. He won't let me teach the important things. Revelation 15, verses 1 through 3. I'm thinking, get my pages and stuff here. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Again, Christ is King. And this, I can't begin to tell you. You know, I try and I try, and I can't come up with the words I want to explain how great he is, how powerful he is. And yet, he's meek and lowly according to his own words. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. I'm talking about Satan and anyway, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, sometimes we're not as faithful as we could be. I went through a period of time a while back when I wasn't as faithful as I should have been. And we have folks that could be in God's house but ain't. I'll put it like that. And, you know, it's not necessarily my place to say so, but it's true, so I'm going to. And how can we ignore such a great King? King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and upon his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Our Lord is no lightweight. When he goes into battle, nations tremble. Many times in the Old Testament it talks about Israel and how they would go out to fight against a stronger foe or opponent, but the battle was the Lord's. And we live this life here on this earth waiting for the time when we're going to be with our Lord. And all these things that transpire, all these things that happen that concern us or worry us and stuff like that, hey, he's in charge. He's in control. This stuff can't touch us. Revelation 21. And I'm not going to make hardly any comments because we haven't got there yet in our study in Revelation, which is Friday or Sunday evening. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and this is where his throne's going to be. I have confidence in that. You know how I know? I asked Stephen, he told me. There's places where it says God's throne is in heaven, right? Okay, I believe they're talking about God the Father. God the Son, his throne is going to be in Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where his bride is. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Why prepare a city for the bridegroom if he's not going to be there? Makes sense to me. And like I said, Steve said so. So that eliminates all doubt. And our final scripture reading for the morning, I mean for me this morning, is Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. And it came unto me, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Again, this is where Christ is going to be. This is where his throne is going to be. He's going to be with his bride forever and ever and ever. No end to it. So, yeah, there's one last king, but he's the king that's going to last. Anyway, that concludes our study of the kings, and I haven't really thought yet about what to study next. Might have some individual studies, individual lessons and stuff for a while before taking up another series or something like that, because I've been having some bad days and I missed a few, and it messes up a series, you know, when you do that. But hopefully things will be getting better. It's going to be warming up, my back will be a little bit better, and things will be good. But anyway, just remember, we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And stick around in about 5 minutes. Brother McCool is going to have a great message.